Hi, and welcome to Math and Musings. I'm Mike O'Connell, creator of Math and Musings, and your host. Stay tuned for 15 minutes of science, politics, news, and opinion. In other words, Math and Musings. Today's date is Friday, August 6th, 2021, and this is broadcast number 10 of our show. Yes, we have reached double digits. If you'll recall, in the end of broadcast number 9 last week, I mentioned three things, kind of quickly, at the end of the show. I mentioned that it was the end of summer school for me. I mentioned Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and I mentioned my journey to the old world. I was heading back home, sort of quickly. As a matter of fact, I was leaving shortly after I recorded last week's show, and I said that those three topics all deserved their own 15 minutes. Like, I wasn't just going to squeeze them in for 20 seconds apiece at the end of broadcast. Well, I did, saying, though, that those three things would be dealt with in a future broadcast. Three passions of mine. One, teaching, and I do have some interesting summer school stories. I'm now officially on summer vacation. I got 2 weeks here between the end of summer school and the start of quote unquote real school, and I got to pack a whole summer into 2 weeks. I'm already 1 week down. Today's episode, I'll be reporting on that week. But summer school, as I said, was an interesting experience for me. It gave me some ideas of things that I could use in the regular school year, or maybe some things that I would never try again. I've been reading a book now that sort of details a whole new approach to teaching mathematics, and, you know, every once in a while there's a new book on the scene, and a new, I hate to say, make it sound like an educational fad, but, you know, there's a new mode of thinking on teaching, and, well, it hooks you for a while anyway, and there's at least some merit to it, I think. I'll mention that, as I said. It's worthy of a whole 15 minutes. Worthy of a whole 15-week course, whole semester course. But I will address that on a future episode. I also mentioned the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and the ones with the peanut butter on the outside. Another of my passions in life is finding unusual food items. That's like the last step of interesting things in the world, especially if you can't go anywhere. It's just like, well, what interesting thing can I put in my mouth to eat? It doesn't matter whether you're rich, poor, black, white, doesn't make any difference. It's, putting unusual food into your mouth is an interesting experience, because it's just like, it just lasts for a second or a minute, and then it's over. It doesn't matter if you're a millionaire or it's, you're at the other end of things. It's like, that's interesting. That thing you're putting in your mouth is interesting. So, and my son has picked up on this too. Like, you search the grocery aisles for unusual food items. That is worthy of a whole 15 minutes, if not more. And I will address that on a future episode. Today's episode will be about my hometown. And if you've been following along with the blog, that's MikeO'ConnellJr.com, have heard that I did make it to the old country. I hadn't been there in 2.5 years. Partly due to coronavirus and partly due to just, I don't find it interesting. And, it's not really worth anyone's time. I always tell people, like, oh yeah, I'm from Binghamton, New York. It's on Route 81. Like, if you're going up Interstate 81, driving north, you pass through it. Like, you definitely pass through it. I hope you don't stop. There's nothing going on there. Don't bother. That's usually my somewhat cynical, jaded attitude toward, Binghamton, New York. The thing that I say about the place, and I borrowed this from native son, actually he's from Syracuse, but he grew up in Binghamton, Rod Serling, creator of The Twilight Zone, most famous person never to come from Binghamton, once quipped, "Everyone has to have a hometown. Binghamton's mine." And I sort of feel the same way. It's like, well, you gotta be from somewhere. Like, everyone literally has a biological mother and father and a place that they're from. It doesn't matter if you moved or you never see your parents or what kind of life you had growing up. Those things won't change. Like, you were definitely born somewhere. For me, it was Binghamton, New York, and I was back there for a few days on on some personal business, going home, visiting some folks. There's only like three people in Binghamton, like of my friends, there's only like three people in Binghamton that I still talk to. And as long as I was up there, I was going to reach out to them. I was tied up with some other matters, but as long as I was in town, I was going to carve out at least like 20 minutes to talk to each of my friends. And I was thinking about this, that like, yeah, I text these people all the time, or, you know, every once in a while have an actual phone call, but it's just no substitute for seeing people in real life. And I'm so thankful that I grew up in an era without cell phones and without texting and without virtual reality and various ways in which we separate ourselves from people. I want actual reality. And like when I was growing up, you actually had to go see people in real life. And, you know, you'd go out somewhere just on the chance that you'd run into someone you know. And, I mean, if you're from a small town, you're going to run into someone you know. And it wasn't always, like, just virtual communication. Like, I had to see your face. And as I said, I got three friends who still live in my hometown. And I had a few minutes to have some FaceTime, literally FaceTime, with all of them and visiting some old haunts and just talking. And it really lifted my spirits for a few hours. I had a very enjoyable few hours on my way out of town, as a matter of fact, making quick stops with a few of my old buddies. Well, not old. Long-time friends. I shouldn't say old friends. Long-time friends. People who've been my friends for 20 years or more. And then on my way out of town, coming down 81, back to my adopted home of Northern Virginia, I'm passing through the Scranton, Pennsylvania area. You know Scranton from The Office. And this side of the Dunder Mifflin headquarters, the most famous tourist attraction in Scranton, PA, actually it's in nearby Moosic, PA, is Montage Mountain, which it's Ski Lodge, and they have an amphitheater there. Like, name acts come through Montage Mountain. It's gone through several different corporate names. Everyone knows it as Montage, if you're from there. And the home of the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders baseball team. That's a AAA affiliate of the New York Yankees. Now, for a long time, the Rail Riders were, or the team in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre was a Phillies affiliate. I think I have this right. This is all easily checked on the Google machine. I looked all this up when I was writing a blog post about this. The Yankees took over the club in 2007. They were the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Yankees, and they refurbished the stadium, like made it from like a high school baseball field into a state-of-the-art facility with Yankee money. Like, you can definitely tell there's some Yankee money in this place. Beautiful AAA stadium just outside of Scranton, PA, and I've driven by it. This was 2013, and they rebranded the team, and they're the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders now. The park is right next to a railroad track. Then again, everywhere in the Northeast is near a railroad track. And I had driven by this park a million times. Stadium. I've driven by the stadium a million times. Never had the opportunity to stop because I'm either, you know, I'm usually with my family, and they just want to get home. Or it's like, you know, we're leaving in the morning, and this, you know, when am I ever there at night by myself? Well, the other day I was. And I got to see a few innings of the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders. It was Yankees-Red Sox, actually. They were playing the Worcester Red Sox, nay, Pawtucket Red Sox. Pawtucket doesn't have a team anymore. They just folded up last year. Big Red Sox moved the team to Worcester, Mass. So this is the second time in my life seeing Yankees-Red Sox. I've never seen a real Red Sox game. I was in Pawtucket once to see the AAA version. But here I was again seeing AAA version, including Luke Voit making a rehab start at first base for the AAA Yankees. Although with the Yankees' recent addition of Anthony Rizzo, who's turned into the new Babe Ruth, who knows? Luke Voit's new spot might be in AAA. That's for the big club to figure out. But they've certainly put money into the stadium. They're obviously subsidizing the place because my ticket was only $2. My general admission ticket was $2, and parking was free. So my whole afternoon of seeing my friends and going to a baseball park, I've always wanted to, was a very, very, I hate to say cheap. I got a good deal. Let's just put it that way. Very cost-efficient way to spend an evening. And I appreciated seeing Yankees, Red Sox, even the AAA version. It was, and you know, the nicest AAA or any minor league park that I've ever been to. Though, as I wrote on the blog, it's a little bit like saying that you know, your favorite 1960s band from Liverpool, among all the 1960s bands from Liverpool, your favorite one is the Beatles. You know, it's a little bit like saying that. There's with the money of the Yankees put into this place, yeah, it's pretty nice. So, a little bit further down the road, but in way more Bush League, but just as fun. Like, you miss the local color. I got the local color a couple days later when I went to a morning game of the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs. They play in the Atlantic Baseball League. That's the professional baseball league that's only sort of affiliated with Major League Baseball, and it's an independent league. They do a lot of rule experimentation there. They've got some kind of partnership with MLB. That was the one where you could steal first base. Like, on a wild pitch, you could just go. I think that's still the rule. It didn't come up when I saw the game the other day. This would have been Thursday. Yesterday, if you're listening to this as it drops on Friday. Yesterday morning, the Blue Crabs had a game against the Long Island Ducks, managed by former Met Wally Backman, and former Binghamton Met manager Wally Backman, as a matter of fact. And Bud Harrelson's one of the owners of the team. Like, there's a lot of former Mets involved in the Long Island Ducks. And they took it to my Southern Maryland Blue Crabs. Now, this was the league. They got enlarged bases. They're 18 inches. They got the robot umpire calling balls and strikes. There's a few other things. Once your starting pitcher's out, you lose the DH. There's a number of things that they're trying there. And the biggest rule change is 61 feet 6 inches. They moved the mound back 1 foot. And just for the second half of the season, so this is only the second game they had played with the deeper mound. Oh boy, our pitcher got rocked right in the first inning. He was obviously standing too far away. First pitch of the game was a home run. And I'm the only guy. Oh, it's a morning game. It's a bunch of like school camps and, you know, school groups, summer camp kids and the counselors. I'm the only adult in the stadium, like the only person sitting in the outfield. Just first pitch of the game, ball comes right at me. It's a home run. I figure I'm going to pick it up off the ground. It bounces on the 1 foot of cement, goes up and out of the stadium. And like, I can see where it rolls to. It's just a couple feet from a fence behind me. I'm like, that's my ball right there. And it's one of those experiences where, like, there's so few people in the stands, like, the fielders will talk to you. Like, I'm Spike Lee sitting courtside, like, talking to the right fielder. I'm like, or he says to me, like, man, that was your play. I'm like, I know, I blew it. Few batters later, deep shot to right field again. This one, that same outfielder catches right in front of the wall. I was like, I thought I was going to have to make a play. You know, nice catch, actual person in the game. I thought I was going to have to make a play on that one, too. Proof that life always gives you a second chance. A few batters later, another Long Island Duck player, unknown batter, hits a home run right towards me again. This one I did pick up off the grass. I told the outfielder, who was a little salty by this point because his team's down like 5 or 6 to nothing. They scored 6 runs in the first inning. He was, I turned to him like, see, life always gives you a second chance. I got a home run ball. And I just picked it up off the grass. And second time in my life I ever got a ball at a professional baseball game. First home run ball. I did go look for that, the first pitch of the game ball afterwards. I go around behind the fence. Somebody had picked it up. I realized the gate back there was open. Like, it was unlocked. It was just closed. I could have gone out and gotten it. But I ended up with my ball anyway. And I appreciate your following me on this baseball excursion. You've been listening to Math & Musings. Math & Musings is presented by Michael O'Connell. For more information or to contact, go to MikeO'Connell Jr.com.